I don't know who here today, Father God, has just seen things coming to an end very quickly. But Father, we thank you because you give us hope and you tell us of a new heaven and a new earth. And so we invite your Holy Spirit to speak to us once again. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. By now, every time you see me preach, you know what I'm going to be preaching about. The book of Acts. It's been quite some time now. And I know there's like 28 chapters in this book. And I'm not going to go through all 28. I've decided today is the last day I'm going to preach on the book of Acts. Doesn't mean we won't come back to it, but today is the last sermon on the book of Acts. And the reason why I chose this book, it talks about the early church, amen? And I think that we can learn from the early church, don't you think so? What were the practices? What was the centrality of church in the time of Paul, the disciples? What was it that moved them to preach the word of God wherever they went? And what I discovered is that the Bible is central in that church. Amen? The centrality of the word of God, they went to it. Did they have difficult times? Wow, did they have difficult times, but they were not discouraged. They came together. They shared with one another the situation, and they came to a conclusion that they wanted to honor Jesus. They wanted to honor their Lord and Savior. And so I believe today, almost 2,000 years later, we have something to learn from these early believers. Don't you think so? I think we can learn. And one of the words that struck me as I read Acts chapter 20 was the word more blessed. Do you want to be more blessed? I want to be more blessed. I mean, I feel blessed already to be here. I feel blessed that I am healthy. Do you feel blessed too? I feel blessed that I have a car with gasoline in it. Amen? Move around. And we sometimes take all these blessings for granted and we think, well, you know, it's part of life, you know, to have all these things. The Bible tells us we can be more blessed in giving than just receiving. And I believe somebody who gave like no one else has ever given is God himself. You believe that? Yes. Nobody has given what he has given. We can't outgive God. All of us in here together, we can't outgive him. The word of God tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son. And the early church, they took this message to heart. And they said, how can we give more? And I see Paul as an example of someone who gave. In this specific chapter, Acts chapter 20, tells us about the last words that Paul shared with the leaders, the elders of the city of Ephesus. The city where he had worked for 3 years. A city that had seen him escape because at one point he was telling them about the true God and that Diana, this goddess that they worshipped in Ephesus at this specific temple, was not true. She could not do anything for you. She could not help you. But there is a living God who can help you. His name is Jesus. And if you believe in him, things do change in life. Things do change. And that God upset a lot of the merchants there who were selling these little statues of Diana. And the church saw that they were after Paul. They didn't care about anybody else, but they were after Paul. And they took him out and said, Paul, just leave Ephesus. Leave and come back later. Because if the mob gets you, you're going to be in big trouble. And Acts chapter 20, starting with verse 17, tells us that Paul was head on his heart to celebrate the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. That's verse 16. And on his way to Jerusalem, as he was taking an offering that the Gentile churches had given him to help the brethren in Jerusalem. He stopped in Miletus, and that wasn't too far from the city of Ephesus. He didn't want anything to deter him from his mission of going to Jerusalem. Everyone was telling him, Paul, do not go to Jerusalem. You will die. They're going to kill you. And if they don't kill you, they're going to imprison you and later kill you. That's how bad it is, Paul. We've heard the news. Everybody's telling us you're the most wanted man in Jerusalem. Most wanted. He was on the hit list of many people. In fact, he had just gotten out off this boat, and he did that because they knew they were trying a plot to kill him right in that boat. And so he descended, and he stayed there in Miletus, and then he sent for the elders in Ephesus. And the following verses tell us of the words that he shared with these leaders, these overseers, the ones who were supposed to take care of the flock of God. And starting with verse 18, he said to them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." He's telling them, you know that I've been with you in the good times and in the bad times. You know that I've been with you when we've celebrated, the wonderful things that God has done for us. And also during those hard moments when sometimes we ask ourselves, where is God? Well, why is this happening to us? Why are people treating us in this way? In all seasons, he said, I've been with you. And he says in verse 19 and 20, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. I've given you all I have, all the knowledge, all my experience with God and what he's done in my life. I've shared that with you and have showed you and have taught you publicly in the marketplace, at the synagogue, but also at your home. How many of you have had the opportunity of having somebody come to your house and study the Bible with you? Can I see your hands? Or maybe you're giving a Bible study. Amen. And Paul was the same. He came to the public place where everybody gathered and he shared his love for Jesus. But also he took the time to visit and to share the word of God inside the home. And what a privilege for these men to have heard from Paul himself, his witness, his testifying. And verse 21 tells us, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The message was simple. The message was, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Turn back to God. Leave the ways of this world. This world has nothing to give you, nothing to offer. It does take away. It promises and doesn't keep its promise. It gives you a little, and the payment is costly. And he invited them to repent, to turn back to God and learn of this wonderful, merciful God that we serve. And also he shared with them faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to go a step further and say, faithfulness to our Lord Jesus Christ. Invited them to know Jesus Christ, to serve him. And in verse 22, he tells them this, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Was he afraid? Was he afraid of going to Jerusalem? No. This following verse just tells us that. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Here Paul is telling them, hey, look, I gave you all I knew about Jesus. I shared with you during these difficult times. Look, I went to your home. I went to the marketplace. I went to church and shared with you what God has done for me. But now I'm going to Jerusalem, and they say they're going to kill me there. But even that does not move me. Even that does not scare me. Even that even motivates me even more to go and share what God has done for me. Is that powerful testimony, brothers and sisters? Powerful testimony of a Paul who had it all at one point. He had prestige, fame, probably money, everything he could want in this world, and he gave it all up because he wanted to share Jesus with his brothers and sisters in Jerusalem and the rest of his brothers and sisters in the Gentile world. But I'm going to ask you a question. Is it easy to say goodbye? No. The more times you do it, doesn't it get easier? It doesn't get easier. My father, a pastor, moved around a lot. I mean, we were basically at one place longest 3 years, and we moved from city to city, from town to town. And you would think that, you know, by the third, fourth time, you just get used to it, but you don't. The saying goodbye is always hard. And I can remember being in Bering Springs, Michigan. My father was a student there studying for his PhD, had just done his courses, was going to get ready to start his dissertation. And the Mexican Union asked my father if he would come down to Mexico and teach at our school in Monte Morelos. I can remember, I was right in the middle of second grade. My dad's like, we're leaving to Mexico, Sam. And I go, we can't, Dad. I'm not finished with second grade. You think I convinced my father? It's like, sorry, Sam, we have to go. It's a call. And I need to go and teach. I can remember with these big eyes and tears in my eyes telling my dad and begging my mom, you know, what about Miss Kaiser, my second grade teacher? She taught me how to read, and she's going to teach me some more things. I can't go yet. They're like, we have to go. Then I asked, can she come with us? I can see my dad scratching his head and shrugging his shoulders saying, no, she can't come. I'm sorry, but she can't come. Not easy to say goodbye. Just this past November, I was in Cuba with my mom, and that was her first time after 43 years coming back to her native country. And we went to this house, an abandoned home, and we stood in front of that home. And she said, you see that house right there? 43 years ago, there were 100 family members and friends saying goodbye to us. And when she said that, tears came back to her eyes. And she cried, just remembering that moment where she had to say goodbye to all these friends and families. And I know many of you here have said goodbye to a spouse, a friend, a brother. And it's never easy to say goodbye. Never. And Paul was in this similar situation. He knew his end was coming. He knew most likely he was going to die in Jerusalem or somewhere else. But somehow, The Spirit of God had revealed to him that his end was coming soon. So at that moment, he wanted to share with his brothers and sisters an important message, an encouraging message. Because isn't that what we need, brothers and sisters? Words of encouragement in those difficult times? Words that will help us see beyond what we're experiencing and feeling at that moment? And so Paul stops talking about himself and then invites them, after sharing this last word before, found in verses 25, 26, and 27. He says this, "And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take to record this day." I take to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Where can we find all the counsel of God, brothers and sisters? In his word. I've shared that with you. All the counsel of God. And then he tells them, verse 28 and on, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Amen. First thing he tells them, feed my sheep. Feed the flock of God. Feed it with what? With his word. Tell them the great things that God has done for this world. The price that Jesus Christ paid for each human being. And I can see him talking to these elders there, and he's saying, "You see that guy right there on the ship? He needs to know. And you see that lady over there? She needs to know. And you see these children out here playing on right just beside us? They need to know the price that heaven has paid for them. They need to know. Tell them. Invite them to be part of the flock. Feed them with your word, with God's word." And he continued saying, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Did this happen, brothers and sisters? Is this happening today, brothers and sisters? It's happening. Pastor Jeff and I had the privilege of going to Long Beach, not too far from here. We were there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. West Point of Evangelism, learning from people who have incredible experience and just have been doing this for many years. We had a video from It Is Written. The Quiet Hour also gave a report. And so many of these big ministries shared with us the stories of things that are happening today here in North America and other parts of the world. And yes, that was encouraging. We had also church members sharing what God is doing in their city, in their town, in their church, and how the word of God is being shared as well. We also had Dan Jackson speak to us. And he did share the situation through which we as a church in North America are going through. Not an easy situation, I believe, for administrators. The pressure, the turmoil that is going on, decisions that are being made that could potentially divide the church. This is what Paul is talking about. This can happen. This will happen. Men will arise, even speaking perverse things to draw many disciples after them. But he invites us all to take heed unto ourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. A big responsibility. A big responsibility for us all. He continues telling them the following. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I've worked hard. I've given up everything. In fact, my hands have not only supported me, but they've supported others in need. I invite you, therefore, says Paul. Verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Whose words are those? Did you catch that? Was it Paul's words? It was Jesus' words. And he's reminding them what Jesus said. More blessed to give than to receive. We put it in context. Did Paul give? He gave from himself. Not only monies, but he gave time. He went through many dangers to share the good news of Jesus and his soon return. And he said, therefore, do ye likewise. Do the same. Don't be afraid to give what God has given you. Amen? Fallbrook is a special church. A church where church members give. I think that's something that we can say Fallbrook's about. They give. They give smiles, they give hugs, handshakes, sometimes they give calls too. Yes? They also give of their gifts of music. There are opportunities to give, brothers and sisters. And Joe reminded us about a special project that we have here. What is it called? The painting project, yes? Maybe we think, well, how is that going to help in evangelizing? Well, if we don't have a church, brothers and sisters, we can't invite them to come here. Amen? And that paint is going to protect the structure of this building. And it's going to make this place a place where we can just say, hey, welcome to our church. That's what we're telling the rest of our community when we're making this place a nice place. But those are not the only places where we can give. Pastor Jeff mentioned that this summer we're going to be doing what? Mission trip with the Navajo people. If you want to be part of that, talk to Pastor Jeff. We're going to be having also VBS this summer. Another place where we can be involved. Another place where we can be involved. But there are places and opportunities for all of us to give. To give of what God has so abundantly given each one of us. Amen? That's what Paul was inviting the church to do. Don't be afraid to give. And above all, don't be afraid to share Jesus with others. Some of you might think, Pastor Sam, if you knew, I've been giving for the past And you can fill in the blank, several years. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I don't think I can give more than I'm giving right now. And it's true. On our own strength, we can't give more. But in the strength of Jesus, can we give more?
Amen.
We can give more. I want to share this quote and finish with this. Amidst the constant storm of opposition, the clamor of enemies, and the desertion of friends, the intrepid apostle almost lost heart. Yes, Paul felt that as well. Can I give any more? God, I've given it all. And look at all these problems I'm facing. But he looked back to Calvary and with new ardor pressed on to spread the knowledge of the crucified. He was but treading the blood-stained path that Christ had trodden before him. He sought no discharge from the warfare till he should lay off his armor at the feet of his Redeemer. Where did Paul get his strength, brothers and sisters? Looking at the cross, looking at Calvary, the price that heaven paid for each one of us. As they were gathered there listening to Paul share these last words, this goodbye, the last thing that chapter 20 tells us that Paul did with these brethren, brothers and sisters, he grabbed them and they knelt and they prayed. If this work that God has given us is going to be completed through us, his people, we need to pray. We need to pray. During our evangelistic meetings that we had this week, there were a group of three young people who went out to the community of Long Beach. And in 1 hour, all three brought in three Bible studies. Okay, so each one brought one Bible study, so a total of three Bible studies. People who said, please come to my house. I want to study the Bible with you. Everybody was intrigued. How did you do it? What words did you use? What did you say? And you know what they said? For the past month, we've been praying every day. We've been praying that God will lead us to the right home. We've been praying that God will open the doors for us. We've been praying that God will speak through us. We've been praying. And in 1 hour, three people, unknown to them that we were having this these meetings there in Long Beach, they said, we would like to have a Bible study with you. Amen?
Amen.
Are you encouraged, brothers and sisters? Do we need to pray more?
Yeah.
We need to pray more. We also need to share Jesus wherever we go. And if you or I ever get tired, we only have to look where? We only have to look to Calvary and see the price that God paid for each one of us. And the God who was willing to pay that kind of a price for you and me, is he not willing to help us share Jesus with somebody else? He's able. He's willing. His Holy Spirit has been promised. Yes, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen.